Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. It's always good to see those of you who are present in the sanctuary, and welcome to those who are joining us more remotely. We do have a few announcements. Our volunteers at the food pantry this week are Kathleen and Ron McPhee. Tuesday at 10 a.m., we have Bible study here. Wednesday at 8 a.m., we have men's breakfast here. And youth group at 5:45 that evening. Thursday at 2 p.m. here, we have bell choir practice. Friday at 2 p.m., we have the funeral for Jerry Frisk at Hardest Funeral Home. The reception will follow here. Next Sunday at 2 p.m., we have our church council meeting. Also, on the first Sunday of the month, we recognize those who have birthdays and anniversaries. Our birthdays for December are Isaiah Goddard, Kellen Johns, James Foss, Skip Hancock, and Carol Dibble. Do we have any others? Let's pray for those with birthdays this month. O Lord our God, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for these individuals who are celebrating their birthdays this month. We ask you to be with them as they begin another year of life. Help them to walk in your ways. Show them the path that they should take and help them to follow it. We ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Our anniversary for this month is Aelita and Pepper Neustall, who are in Arizona. So let's pray for them as well. Good and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of marriage. We thank you for Aelita and Pepper. Help them as they continue this journey of marriage together. Let their marriage reflect the love that you have for your people, especially the love that you have for your church. We ask this through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Do we have any other announcements? If not, let us begin worship with the lighting of the Advent wreath. Dean, if you will come forward to do that. This is the second Sunday of Advent, so we light two candles. Praise to you, O God, who gives us courage to start again. You fasten righteousness around your waist and baptize with the Holy Spirit's fire. Bless us as we mirror your mighty fire in these simple flames, and teach us to mirror your justice in the paths we prepare. We ask that peace abound and none hurt or destroy over all the earth. Amen. Amen. Let us sing together the second verse of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, Prepare the Royal Highway, number 264. Gracious Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, Lord God, to prepare the way of your only Son. By his coming, nurture our growth as people of repentance and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
God speaks to us in scripture reading, preaching, and song. The first reading is from the 11th chapter of Isaiah. A shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, nor decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. The word of the Lord. Let us read responsibly Psalm 72. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son.
Then he may rule your people righteously and the poor with justice.
That the mountains may bring prosperity to the people and the hills in righteousness.
Let him defend the needy among the people, rescue the poor, and crush the oppressor.
May he live as long as the sun and the moon endure, from one generation to another.
Let him come down like rain upon the mown field, like showers that water the earth.
And in his time may the righteous flourish, and let there be an abundance of peace until the moon shall be no more.
Blessed are you, Lord God, the God of Israel. You alone do wondrous deeds.
And blessed be your glorious name forever, and may all the earth be filled with your glory. Amen. Amen. The second reading is from the 15th chapter of Romans. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come to the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. You may be seated. Now, I asked Jean whether I should have us do the chrismons today or whether I should preach about you brood of vipers. She said, "Let's do chrismons." In our gospel reading, John the Baptist proclaimed the coming of the Messiah, urging everyone, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." The gospel writer states that John is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Isaiah foretold the coming of John as the voice crying out in the wilderness. But as we heard in our first lesson, Isaiah also foretold the coming of the Messiah, saying, "A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He is the one who is righteous and faithful, the one who will someday usher in a new and peaceable kingdom, where all the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Today we will be decorating our tree with chrismons made by members of this church. The word chrismons is a combination of the words Christ and monogram. The first chrismons were developed by Francis Kepps Spencer for the Lutheran Church of the Ascension in Danville, Virginia. Frances thought that the usual lights and ornaments were not appropriate in a worship setting, so she began researching and considering ways to represent the Christian faith in decorations. She began by trying to imagine herself in the shoes of Mary, the mother of Jesus, asking how Mary might celebrate Jesus' birthday. In our time, how do we celebrate birthdays? We have cake, right? And what do we often have on that cake?
Candles.
Candles and frosting. And sometimes, what else?
Ice cream.
Well, there's that. But sometimes we even put our names on it, right? And so Francis looked at the traditional Christmas tree as a sort of cake to be decorated. And she put on it Jesus' name and his title, Christ. However, she did not do that in English. Instead, she used the Greek monogram Kairo, which looks like an X and a P. It stands for the first two letters of the word Christos. And she started to create original designs that told more about Christ and his teachings. The ornaments are white with gold, white to symbolize purity, and gold to symbolize majesty. They always point to God, proclaiming some truth about God as seen in Jesus. According to an old church newsletter, members of this church started working in May 1968 to make this church's first chrismons out of styrofoam or wire. And I've heard people talk about how the styrofoam tended to just sort of crumble. And so ornaments have been replaced and added throughout the years. May these chrismons inspire you as you prepare your heart to celebrate the birth of Christ. So the chrismons are laid out, and they're laid out in order. So come forward as you feel the desire, and begin over here with the very first one. We'll pick them up this way, and then when we finish with those, we'll come over here and do it the same way. I know if you see one that you like, don't just grab it. Let someone go in front of you and get the one that you want. Okay? Do we understand? Yeah. Otherwise, I will be reading the wrong thing, and this will take a lot longer than it needs to. This needs to be fun and educational. You start right there. But we need to move the lectern back. So bring your chrismon, show it to everyone, and then put it on the tree. Okay?
Anywhere.
Except that's not the first one that I had. All right.
It was the first time
I had. I know. It means I made a mistake.
Oops. Oh.
That's, which one should be first?
That's okay.
Well, that's okay.
The one that Paul is holding should go first. I was doing this late at night. Forgive me. I know where that one goes. All right. That is the Cairo. Because Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God. The most widely known chrismon is a combination of the first two letters of the Greek word for Christ. The Greek letter chi looks like the English letter X, while the Greek letter rho looks like the English P. I'm looking at that saying, which one was that? I don't even know. Let's just put it up and call it good. I think that one is actually supposed to be a circle.
Let
me go to circle. Because what does a circle remind you of?
Never ending.
Exactly. So it symbolizes eternity. It is a reminder of God, who is the eternal one, and the promise of eternal life with God, which will be indeed never ending. And the next one is the cross and the chi that Dean is holding. The first letter in the Greek word for Christ, chi, is combined with the cross. Only when we understand the Christ and the cross can we begin to understand the breadth and width and depth of God's love. To symbolize the nativity, a rose is replaced in the center of the symbol. This one you'll see has three letters, iota, eta, sigma. These are the first letters of the name Jesus in Greek. The first letter, iota, looks much like our English letter I. The second letter, eta, looks like the English letter N with a tail. The third letter, sigma, may be written as either an English S or C. Here it looks like the English letter C. The Son of Righteousness. The prophet Malachi wrote, "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings." The iota chi. The iota is the first letter of the name Jesus in Greek. The chi is the first letter of the Greek title Christ. The Greek word Christ is a translation of the Hebrew word Messiah, which means the anointed one. When the two letters are superimposed, they appear to represent a star. The Christ child in the manger. The circle is superimposed with a chi and a small circle at the top to represent a manger. Christ was born in the lowliness and ordinariness of a manger. A daisy. This is a representation of the innocence of the Christ child. The angel. In the Gospel of Luke, we read how the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary to announce to her that she would be the mother of the Messiah. We also read how the angels went to shepherds tending their flocks in the fields to tell them about the Savior's birth. Glory to God in the highest, they sang. Angel symbols remind us that the gospel message is for everyone. The Epiphany Star. The word epiphany means appearance or revelation. This star has 5 points, reminiscent of the Star of David. It points to the divinity of Jesus. In the Gospel of Luke, a star pointed to the Magi, pointed the Magi to the place where the child Jesus could be found. And the six-pointed star, here the symbolism is of crosses set at angles, suggesting the close relationship between the birth and death of Jesus. Entwined circles. This is a symbol for the Holy Trinity, one God in three persons, each eternal. And wheat. We are reminded of the wheat and grapes which make up bread and wine of the Lord's Supper. And so those are symbols that tell us who the Promised One is. And the next ones tell us what the Promised One will do. Of the crown of thorns. A crown of thorns was placed on our Savior's head before his crucifixion. Over his head was placed a sign with these words, the King of the Jews. The letters that in Latin script look like I-N-R-I represent the first letters of the words, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. The Latin cross. Although we are not certain of the shape of the cross on which Jesus was crucified, the Latin cross is the one most widely used in the Western Church. It reminds us that Christ suffered and died on the cross, taking the punishment of our sins upon himself and dying so that we might be reconciled with God and have eternal life. The Greek cross. When all extensions of a cross are of equal length, it is called a Greek cross. The formal balance of the Greek cross facilitates its use with other figures in Christian art. Two chis. Two chis superimposed upon each other. The chi in its usual position represents Christ. The chi in the position of the cross represents Christ's crucifixion. Together, they remind us of what the baby in the manger came to earth to do. The serpent on the Tau cross. This is a reminder of an event in the Old Testament where serpents were biting the Israelites in the desert, and Moses was instructed to make a serpent on a pole. All who gazed at the symbol were saved. The Gospel of John records these words of Jesus. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The Passion Cross. The pointed ends of this cross are a reminder of the points of the nails, the crown of thorns, and the spear thrust into Jesus' side as he hung on the cross. The cross in glory. The rising sun behind the cross suggests the new day when our Lord conquered death through his resurrection. And the circle, symbolizing eternity, a reminder of God, the eternal one, and the gift of eternal life. The butterfly. The butterfly is a symbol not only of our Lord's resurrection, but the resurrection of all who die in Christ. When a caterpillar enters a chrysalis, its old body dies, and it is transformed, emerging as a butterfly. Christ's body was placed in the tomb, and he emerged victorious over death. The fish. Early Christians used a fish as an easily made and recognized secret sign. During the times that the early church was being persecuted, Christians can find each other by using this simple password. To the outsider, the fish seemed to be merely a decoration. However, to the Christian, it was an affirmation of faith in Christ. And another fish, the ichthys. Ichthys is the Greek word for fish. It contains the letters that stand for Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. But why a fish? Because the first disciples that Jesus called were fishermen. And second, when he told them to follow him, he said he would make them fishers of people. The tree of life. In Christ, we have life, and that life is everlasting. Just as through a tree in the Garden of Eden, death came into the world, so through a tree came eternal life. Jesus said that he is the resurrection and the life, and that all who believe in him, even though they die a bodily death, will have eternal life. And the crown. The crown is a symbol for the kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords. It reminds us of our Savior's victory over sin and death and his place of honor at the right hand of God. This is when we thank God for people of all sizes, short ones who can handle the lower branches of a tree, tall ones who can handle the very top. And we have some others. You want to show what those are? So we have one more cross, and we also have some words. So we have one more cross to put on, and we have a variety of words. What do we have? We have faith. What else do we have? We have peace. We have hope. We have grace. We have love. And we have joy. Do you want to pick one of those and put it on the tree? And then after the service, if you want to come and decorate, you'll see that we don't have a whole lot of faith or a whole lot of grace, but we do have a lot of joy and love. So you can choose those and place them on our tree. And so as you look at our tree over these coming weeks, I hope that these symbols remind you of who it is we are celebrating. Our hymn of the day for each Sunday of Advent is number 241, O Lord, how shall I meet you? This week we focus on verse 2. I lay in fetters groaning. You came to set me free. I stood my shame bemoaning. You came to honor me. A glorious crown you give me, a treasure safe on high that will not fail or leave me as earthly riches fly. Through the coming of our promised Messiah and Savior, we have been blessed with the most perfect gift we could ever receive. Because of him, the love of God entered the world. It has entered our hearts. It has set us free from the chains of sin. This love is too much for our hearts to contain. It spills over into loving service toward our families, our neighbors, our communities, and our world. We need only look back on two symbols, the manger and the cross, to see how much God loves us. Amen. Let us join together in singing number 241, O Lord, how shall I meet you? Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became king of the For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again for glory to judge the living and the dead. And his kingdom will come to heaven. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the Giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, and has spoken to the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge the baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
As we prepare for the fullness of Christ's presence, let us pray for a world that yearns for new hope. God, you renew the church in every age. We give thanks for hymn writers and theologians. Inspire teachers, writers, and musicians to delight and instruct your people. God, in your mercy, you give us a vision of creation in harmony when hurting and destruction will be no more. Teach us to be stewards of the earth and companions to its creatures. Restore to balance and wholeness what human greed has harmed. God, in your mercy, you defend the cause of all who are poor and oppressed. Raise up leaders who will govern with equity and serve the common good. Guide judges, lawmakers, and public officials to protect the rights of those who cannot advocate for themselves. God, in your mercy, you deliver those in need from suffering and fear. Come to the aid of any who are exploited or abused, especially children, elders, and victims of human trafficking. Provide safety and help to our neighbors without shelter, to refugees and those fleeing violence. God, in your mercy, you urge your people to welcome one another as you have welcomed us. Nurture ministries of hospitality and care in this and every congregation. We pray for people who are homebound, hospitalized, or separated from loved ones. We pray especially for those on our prayer chain and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. God, in your mercy, you embrace all who have died, trusting in your promises, and we give thanks for their faithful witness. Sustain us in hope until we are united with them in the joy of your eternal presence. God, in your mercy, God of our longing, you know our deepest needs. By your Spirit, gather our prayers and join them with the prayers of all your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. Your offering to the church or giving through online banking. Let us join together in our offertory. Let the vineyards be fruitful. Number 184.
Jesus, right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new, in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Thank you. Amen.
Thank you.
birthday tomorrow. I